Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the program. We are live and underway. I was out yesterday, so glad to be back in with you today. And we've got plenty to get our week started here on the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, if you miss us, we're live every day at 11 o'clock. But if you can't join us for the live radio program, we're available as a podcast. Really, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, all you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe for free, and no matter how you're joining us each day, really glad to have you as we talk all about the Indiana Hoosiers and even sports from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. And we'll do a little bit of everything today because IU, their game this week paused against Michigan State. And Archie Miller, and I agree on this, he said last night on his coach's show that the Michigan State game being postponed could be a blessing in disguise. And I think with what this team is going through with some of its own injuries and just maybe the need to kind of reset, you could look back upon this point possibly and see that the Michigan State game off could end up being a good thing for this Indiana team. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk IU basketball today. There's some IU football news we'll get to in just a moment. Also, we're coming out of the weekend. We didn't have a Monday program, so we'll talk some high school basketball throughout the show today. We had some big performances over the weekend. Providence with probably the win of the weekend over Jeffersonville on Saturday night. That's a huge win for Ryan Miller's ball club. And then Floyd Central beat the Red Devils on Friday as well in a rivalry game. So some interesting results this weekend. Madison beats New Albany, which can affect the Hoosier Hills Conference race. And so we'll recap things throughout the program as we move through from a high school perspective as well. Let's take a look at the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We'll begin with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll talk about Archie Miller's radio show last night. Always get some interesting things from there. The Big Ten, a couple notes from the Big Ten Conference. Indiana football has hired a new coach, and we'll tell you about that, assistant coach, position coach, and also some news from the IHSA yesterday that I had heard rumblings about that was made official yesterday afternoon. It's going to change the state tournament. Nothing big, nothing major, but we'll cover it here in just a few moments. Also, we'll get into a few other things in our headlines as well. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he's always with us on Tuesdays. We'll talk the latest with IU basketball with him. We'll get into some other college hoops things also in our Tuesday chat with Greg Doyle. And then finally today, Mike Pegram of the Pegs.com website, he'll join us as we'll take a deep look at IU basketball. We'll talk some recruiting and we'll look what's ahead in the Big Ten from an IU perspective as well. Again, they get the week off. No Michigan State game. Could end up being a blessing in disguise for this team. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. But that's what we'll do today in this show, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I want to remind you a couple things. We'll be on the air tonight from Jeffersonville High School with about 7:10 with our pregame coverage. We've got three high school basketball games on the airwaves this week. And I know with restricted attendance, it's hard for people to get in. And so we're doing all that we can to cover as many games as possible this season. But I think this is going to be a good one. North Oldham, who's very early in their season, of course, over in Kentucky, they've only had two or three games at the most under their belt. They play at Jeffersonville tonight. And so we will have that game for you with pregame coverage coming up about 7:10. This weekend, you got New Albany Silver Creek. We'll have that game. We'll also have a Saturday night game as well. So a full week of high school basketball here on the Big X in addition to the Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with location in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And Indiana, let's start there with Archie Miller last night, his weekly radio program, which can be heard, shameless plug here on the Big X. He mentioned that the Purdue game, this is something we talked about the day after the Purdue game. I think if you watched, or if you especially looked at the box score, this is pretty obvious. He said that free throw shooting and three-point shooting were the difference in the game against Purdue. Of course, if you need a reminder, Indiana was 3 of 18 behind the arc and 16 of 29 from the charity stripe in that rivalry game against Purdue. I think when we totaled it up, it was like a 28-point difference coming from those two areas alone, which obviously is a lot to make up. But also he said that, and I thought this was interesting, it's something that's kind of been a focal point, it seems, of this team this season, that they need to put even more emphasis on defense, fundamental defense, and locking down man-to-man principles. And he talked about some of their practices recently. He called them choppy because there have been a lot of injuries, nagging injuries, guys that have been dealing with fatigue. And again, he went on to say exactly what I thought immediately when the IU-Michigan State game was announced, it was postponed. It really could be a blessing in disguise for Indiana. It allows Indiana to get healthy, get some rest. Armon Franklin, maybe he will come back at 100%, much better than what he was the other night, even though he did not play bad, and gets Indiana some real opportunities to get some practices in and get ready for what's ahead as well in this very, very crazy and tough Big Ten Conference. So a lot of other things last night. He talked more about the Purdue game. He looked ahead on the schedule some as well, talking about the Rutgers game. But those were some things I picked out that I thought were key last night. Speaking of Big Ten, Minnesota gets a big win over Michigan over the weekend, and that's a huge win for the Gophers. And Michigan had really come on and taken control of the Big Ten Conference and was getting some love as maybe a Final Four national championship contender type team coming out of this really tough Big Ten, and perhaps they still could be, but it just shows you in the Big Ten that, you know, you're not, no one's going to just completely run the table. No one is going to just be utterly dominant. There are really good teams, big talented teams, night in, night out, that can beat anybody. And I think really Indiana, even though they're, you know, what, a game below 500, I think, right now in the Big Ten, they're in that position too. Would we be terribly shocked if Indiana beat one of these really good teams? They came close to beating Wisconsin. They've had some good wins this season. That just is, again, another example of how good this Big Ten is. And I know we say that every day, but there's an example, it seems like, two or three or four times a week that reminds you of how crazy good this Big Ten Conference is. And one thing that's not good with the conference right now is Nebraska. 12 members of the Nebraska program are in isolation or quarantine due to positive COVID-19 test results. Seven players and also Fred Hoiberg. And I think that number of players has went up since this release I'm looking at. I'm not 100% positive, but they've extended their COVID pause at least for another 7 days, which takes them through the end of this week. And I'll be honest, it sounds like a situation, just going off of the number of infections among their Tier 1 personnel, it sounds like a situation that could be even longer. And then, again, more games have to be scheduled. I think now they've already lost three or four games that are going to have to be booted around by the Big Ten. But definitely some concerns in the Big Ten right now. Penn State, I think they are coming back. Michigan State obviously paused this week, and that affects Indiana. Their first time they've been affected by this virus as far as a game being postponed or moved around for Indiana this season, which is really, really lucky. I think if you look across the conference and look across college basketball at how many other games have been affected this season. But Indiana's first effects of COVID-19 this week, and again, saying it, repeating what I said earlier, what Archie Miller said in his coach's show last night, could end up being a blessing in disguise for this team. We'll have to see when you get some opportunity to practice and to rest and to get healthy in the middle of a big, big stretch to close out this month for Indiana. IU football note here in this opening segment, Indiana is going to hire a Georgia defensive backs coach. His name is Charlton Warren as its next defensive coordinator. Warren has experience at Air Force and coached defensive backs at North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, and Nebraska. So he comes to the Hoosier program with a great background. If you're just looking at who he was as a player, he's played at Air Force Academy, served in the Air Force, I think, for an 8 or 10 year period after school. And then his college football resume is great as far as where he's been and who he's coached. And it sounds like a very interesting replacement for Tom Allen. Of course, a big hole to fill there, but Charlton Warren sounds like he's got the makings of someone that can step into that position and do very well. So I'm sure we'll learn more about him as he gets settled in Bloomington. But it sounds like a good hire for Indiana. I think Tom Allen still has one open position at this point to make a hire. But, again, it sounds like for defensive coordinator, a good pickup for the Hoosiers this coming season. High school basketball note, this one is interesting. The boys basketball state championship games will be moved 1 week later to April 3rd. So instead of being played on March 27th, the games will be played, the 4-1A, 2A, 3A, 4A games will be played on Saturday, April 3rd. The reason for that, and I thought this would probably be coming because the NCAA tournament, with all of it being played in our state, is going to wreak some havoc on schedules for different venues. And Bankers Life Fieldhouse will be used, it looks like, all the way up until the Final Four weekend of the NCAA tournament. So there was a conflict there, and the IHSA and with their partners, the Pacers and the Fever and Bankers Life Fieldhouse, they all do a lot to make sure the high school state championships can happen on a big stage, as they should here in the Hoosier State. Obviously work together as you think they would to make alternative plans. And instead of trying to find another location, it made sense just to bump it back a week. So basically, sectionals are still on the first week of March. Nothing changes there. One-day regionals in March, nothing changes with the dates. Semi-state, one game. Semi-state's on Saturdays. Nothing changes. The only thing that will happen if you win your semi-state game, instead of having a quick turnaround 1 week to go to Indianapolis and practice and go to the banquet before and all the things that go along with the state championship appearance, you'll have that that weekend off. You'll have a Saturday with no game and then come back basically 2 weeks from the day you play your semi-state game and play in the state championship. So a different change, and I saw that it's the first time that the state finals won't be played on that same Saturday since 1978, or at least that they're going to be moved back to the month of April. So that tells you how much of a standard it is in our state for the state finals to be played on a very specific date. One other headline before we head out to commercial break. For the first time since 1961, Duke, Kentucky, and North Carolina all absent from the AP poll. That is just something that you don't remember. It doesn't happen. Those three together not having some sort of banner year, or, and I'm not even talking about it being ranked. I'd like to know when the last time they all three weren't in the top 10 or the top 15 of the AP poll. But that just underscores again what a crazy year this is in college basketball. And I think as we look at the NCAA tournament being all in Indianapolis, it's going to be really cool, going to be good for our state. But I think we would all take a normal NCAA tournament if we could end this pandemic and get back to normal life and normal sports and normal business and everything else that this pandemic has affected. But when you think about how crazy it's been, or Indiana gets a game against Michigan State canceled, or something wild happens in the Big Ten as far as an upset or some result, this type of stat here, Duke, Kentucky, UNC out of the poll, not in the poll for the first time together since 1961, really reminds me what a crazy season this has been. And also another thing that's crazy and just tells you what we're going through right now, there have been, I don't know that there's been men's programs, there may be a few, but there have been a number, it seems, of women's college basketball programs that have shut it down for the season due to injuries, due to COVID situations, maybe reoccurring COVID situations. Vanderbilt is one of the most recent that I've seen come to be announced that they're not going to complete the season. But again, a season not being completed, that tells you what some of these schools are going through, trying to keep people healthy and tested everything that goes along trying to manage a team in this environment that we're in right now. So just some crazy announcements, some crazy news, it seems like, every day right now as we work through this thing. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us in the next segment. We'll talk some IU, Big Ten basketball, college hoops as well with Greg and more. Stay with us for that. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg, a sports columnist with the Star, and kind enough to join us Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball, football, and all sorts of stuff when Greg is with us in this segment. And Greg, I know that Indiana-Purdue was last Thursday night. We were on the air Friday and talked about the positives and the negatives and how many times in a row now Purdue has defeated Indiana. But I want to bring it back up with you because I'm always curious your takes, your opinions of things. And against really just a mediocre Purdue team at best, Indiana loses at Assembly Hall last Thursday. Archie Miller is 0-6 against Purdue, 0-4 against the Boilermakers on the Assembly Hall court. And also, Indiana now as a program has lost 8 straight games to their in-state rival in the Big Ten Conference, the Purdue Boilermakers. What's your take on this dominance, really, that Purdue and Matt Painter have had over Indiana now for 8 years?
Well, a couple things. One is Matt Painter's really, really, really good. I mean, he's really good. You see, Jim Boeheim was the best coach in college basketball to not be in the Final Four, I think it was. maybe the best without a championship. You know, there's always who's the best golfer without a major, that sort of thing. Matt Painter's, I don't know off the top of my head who else is on the list, but if there's two coaches better than him without a Final Four, if there's anybody better than him without a Final Four, I'd be stunned. I mean, he's the best coach we've got in this sport without a Final Four appearance. He's that good. So that's part of it. It's just hard to beat that guy. Another thing I want to say real quick, you said mediocre at best Purdue team. They're better than that. Their record that night was mediocre at best, and it's better now. They're a very young team, like IU, but they're even younger. They're getting better, but this Purdue team's pretty good. And next year Purdue, barring transfers and whatever else, next year Purdue's going to be that could be their Final Four year. They got something special going there. And then finally, Archie and Crean are the two guys that haven't been able to beat Painter. At least that's the 8 years you're talking about, or whatever the streak is. Both those guys, they have something in common. Both those guys were very good. IU hired them because they were very good where they were. And where they were, in each case, was just about the best job in their conference. People might not realize this about Marquette, but Marquette throws more money at basketball than anybody in the Big East. Marquette, it matters to them. And Wojciechowski is there now. That is just about the best job, maybe the best job in that conference. You talk to coaches, they'll tell you. Dayton is absolutely the best job in the A-10. Absolutely. There's a reason why Dayton wins. No matter who the coach is. You know, Brian Gregory wins there, goes Georgia Tech, gets fired. What's-his-name wins there, goes to Alabama, gets fired. I think he's back there again. He's winning again. Archie Miller wins there and goes to IU, and, you know, whatever's happening is happening. What IU has got to stop doing is hiring coaches who've got the best job in the conference where it's not easy to win, but the win's at your sails. And then you come to IU, which is fourth, fifth, sixth best job in this conference. It's not the same thing. It's just not. So that there is a common thread here for why Painter is kicking butt. He's kicking butt because he's really good, and IU keeps hiring coaches that maybe weren't quite as good as what we thought.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. And I'm glad that in your rebuttal, your answer there, you brought up Purdue next season because we know who they have now. We know who's set to come back for next season, and, of course, who's set to join him. Trey Kaufman from right here in our area, who's just on a tear, became Silver Creek's all-time leading scorer on Saturday night, Friday night, one of the two, I can't remember, and Caleb First up north. Both Mr. Basketball contenders headline their recruiting class. So there is something building when you look at who's back and who's coming, and there's no question about that. I know that makes IU fans cringe, not only when we talk about the Purdue dominance over the Hoosiers and Archie Miller to date, but also what could be in line for this Purdue program. I agree with you. They've got some really good years ahead.
Yeah, and Trey Kaufman, can he play? It's not a problem, but just Purdue will be even better than I even think if some of these guys aren't fours and fives. Because right now they got Zach Edey is going to be back next year. He's 7'4". Trevion Williams should be back. He's a pure center. Kaufman and First, can they play three or four or three ideally? Because Mason Gillis needs to play too.
Yeah.
How versatile are these those guys?
Yeah, you know, I can't speak on First. I think he's more just of a traditional post player, like truly in the post. But Kaufman, when he picked Purdue, and it was kind of a surprising thing, I think a lot of people thought Indiana might get him all the way down to the wire. He stated that one of the big reasons in his little announcement was that he would play out on the floor. He wanted to handle the ball. And so that feeds into exactly what you're saying. Him as a three, more so as a four, is probably could have been what sealed the deal for him to go to Purdue.
Good, then I bet they see him as, and they probably sold him on, you know, Vince Edwards, because they're about the same height and all that. So, you know, we can play a guy like you out on the floor. Anyway, so if he can play on the floor, if they can have a lineup with Trevion Williams or Edey, whichever one, that guy, maybe Mason Gillis, but then you've got some great guards. The thing about their guards is, I mean, Stefanovic will be back next year, and he's a great shooter, but Newman, Brandon Newman, as I wrote the other night, I mean, he's special. He's, you know, I don't know a lot of, I don't pretend to be a great basketball analyst, scout, you know, I'm not that guy, but when something's obvious, I see it, and I'm not afraid to say it. You know, Carson Edwards, the freshman, I wrote that he's going to score 2,000 points. I mean, early in his freshman year, I wrote that, and he did it in 3 years. Vince Edwards, I told him as a freshman, I said, you're going to be a pro, don't leave too early, and so, anyway, when it's obvious to me, and I see the same thing in Brandon Newman. That's a pro, so you got next year, you got him as a pro, and then Jaden Ivey. Everybody who talks about Purdue, everybody knows Purdue. People know it better than me. Say Jaden Ivey's the best freshman they got, and he hadn't shown it yet because he's maturing at a different rate than everybody else. But anyway, that's Purdue next year. If they were a stock, I'd say buy it. Spend every penny you got on them, because next year, holy cow! Which is, you know, for IU fans is not great, but you know, I mean, IU hadn't figured out basketball yet. Why start now?
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Let's talk about Indiana. When you look ahead, this Michigan State game postponed, which I agree with what Archie said last night, could be a real blessing in disguise to get some time off, to get healed, to not have fatigue, and to practice, to get better for what's ahead. Because after this postponed Michigan State week, you've got at Iowa coming up, then at home against Rutgers, then at Michigan, who's been on a real tear except for a slip up to Minnesota over the weekend, and then Illinois at home and Iowa at home. That gets you from now till February 7th for this Indiana team, and that is quite a schedule. Iowa twice, Michigan on the road, and others. That's a challenging stretch.
Yeah, and you could pick any five games in the Big Ten, and it would be quite a challenging stretch. But of course, that one sounds a little bit more than others would be. But yeah, that we saw this with IU. I don't know if it was last year. All these years kind of bleed together because, frankly, they're the same year every year. I mean, it's the same year at IU. It is. It's the same year every year. It definitely wasn't last year. So I think it was 2 years ago where you looked at the schedule and it happened where they might not win again for a month and a half. And it seemed like they lost 8 or 10 games in a row, something like that,
yeah,
the Big Ten. And you can look at this schedule and you can see it plain as day. And not saying it's going to happen, but if 6 weeks from now we're saying, yeah, they didn't win a game for 6 weeks, did they? Well, these are the 6 weeks when it could happen. That is brutal. A, it's brutal, but B, IU is, they're not getting any better. You know, they're not. Now, if Armin Franklin can regain his shooting stroke, and I suspect he will, that will help a lot, but IU's not, they're not a lot better. Like, Franklin's a lot better than he was. Tony Jackson Davis is a lot better than he was. Ray Thompson has games where he's a lot better than he was. That's three players making sizable jumps. You would think as a program that therefore IU is going to be just a lot, and they're not. I don't know if that means Finney and Durham and the rest. I don't mean to name call anybody, but are they worse than they were before? I don't really think so, but it's just kind of baffling that they've had some players make clear strides, and I mean important players, and yet as a program, they're right back where they were.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joining us. He's always with us on Tuesdays. Greg, college basketball as a whole has been crazy, and I think the most fun thing I've witnessed so far with college hoops is that the Big Ten is so very good when it comes to some individual talent, but also teams as well. I mean, I just have really enjoyed having a little more downtime than maybe what I normally would this time of year, not just watching Indiana's games, but watching just a ton of Big Ten games on the Big Ten Network or Fox Sports One, wherever they're at. But one of the more crazy tidbits that maybe we'll look back upon from this season, and I know there's a lot of time that can left to go in the season, and the tournament's going to be crazy and all in Indiana, which is awesome despite the pandemic this year. But Duke, Kentucky, and North Carolina absent from the Associated Press poll collectively for the first time since 1961. I mean, there's a lot of times where those three are in the top five or the top 10, let alone not in the poll at all. That's just a crazy factoid from this year so far.
Yeah, and you know that when you're that good, I don't mean to make it sound like you're everybody's allowed to have a down year. So Calipari, Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, they're allowed, and yet, it's almost kind of like shame on you for having a down year, because what you've done, I mean, with your own greatness, they've earned it. But with their greatness, they've got their programs almost on autopilot. Like, you almost, it's not even that hard anymore just to be decent. And for them just to fall, especially Kentucky, but all of them just to fall to the face of the earth, it kind of makes you wonder when that happens. Does that mean the coach has, you know, your first thought is, well, the coach lost it? And your second thought is, well, how old is he? And you look at all three of them, you're like, well, okay. I mean, all three of them are at the age where they're all different ages, but they're all three at the age where maybe the energy level's not there. Maybe they've all lost it. Yeah, I don't know. But you look at IU and Purdue, and programs are, they're clawing and scratching to get up to that level. And then you see three programs that were at that level, and just, you know, maintaining is so much easier than building, and they can't maintain it. It's kind of like a shame on you moment.
Yep, absolutely. Talking to Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg, I haven't even – I was off yesterday, no show, so I haven't even read or talked about this on the air, but I'm sure a lot of IU fans, especially folks that love Vic Oladipo, saw this. But he had a statement that he put out upon his departure from Indianapolis for Houston. And then I know that you guys had a story with some comments from him. I don't know if it was from the statement or if you got a chance to talk to him or not. But your thoughts on what he had to say as he departed Indiana?
Well, I have a thought, and it's this. That's my thought. My other thought is, wah, wah, wah. My other thought is, pound sand, Victor. My other thought is, we know who you are now. Like, we know who you are. We can pretend we don't know who he is, and we can say, well, he's gone now. Let's pretend he's who we thought he was, and let's get mad at people like Greg Doyle for saying something ugly about our guy. No, he revealed what he is, and what he is not good. And statements don't change what the last 18 months. I didn't read the statement. I don't want to read nice words from him. I don't want to read it. It's not like – I don't want anybody to think, well, how can you possibly be informed if you – I am informed. I've watched him for 18 months. I'm really, really informed. What I'm not going to be swayed by, and sadly this country is swayed as much as they can be, is words aren't going to sway me. You can't tell me, for example, that what we saw at the U.S. Capitol was actually Antifa and Black Lives Matter. You can't tell me that. People are saying that. Rudy Giuliani is saying, well, the truth's going to come out. Rudy, the truth's out. We know who it was. So people can say, but yeah, but other folks are saying, I don't care what other folks are saying. And yeah, but Oladipo said, I don't care what Oladipo said. I saw what he did for 18 months. I know who he is, and I was fooled by him. So if I sound pissed off, I am pissed off. He fooled me. And I don't get fooled very often, Matt. I don't get fooled very often. I I'm not a basketball scout or coach that. I don't pretend to be a guy that knows, you know, why is Jaden Ivey going to be better than Brandon Newman? I don't know. People say he will be, so I trust those people. But I am good at human nature. Like, I'm real good at human nature. And Vic fooled me, and that pisses me off. So anyway, I don't care. I don't want to hear any more about Vic Oladipo saying, I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to hear about Paul George saying nice stuff. I don't want to hear it because we know who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, final thing, much lighter note here to close. You know, we've talked a lot about this NCAA tournament coming to Indianapolis. We had someone on after we talked with you a couple weeks ago when it was first announced from the Indiana Sports Corp, which was neat to hear what they're doing to help get our state this opportunity. And again, I think everyone wants the tournament to be normal. We love college hoops here in our state and really in this region, especially where I live. But it's a pandemic, and if it's got to be different and it can still be played safely and it's going to help businesses and our economy and give our state the highlights that it should deserve, especially when it comes to basketball, I think we're all for it. One of those byproducts of all these games being played in our state coming up here in a few months is that facilities are going to be overrun and there are going to be, you know, other events maybe, and maybe not a ton because of the pandemic, that are going to have to be bumped out to make these games possible. And the IHSA announced yesterday that they are moving the state championships to April 3rd. I think first time since 1978 that the tournament will finish in April as opposed to the last Saturday in March. That tells you the cooperation going on right now in our state to make this thing happen. And I'm sure that that's just one example of many that people behind the scenes we may or may not ever read about or know about that are deals being made and dates being changed to make all this work here in our state.
Yeah, desperate times call for desperate measures, and necessity is the mother of all inventions, the other cliche I can think of. But either you're going to be on the right side of getting this event happening, or you're going to be on the wrong side of it and be in the way. And, you know, truthfully, the IHSA had their last commissioner, Bobby Cox. I can see him being on the wrong side. He's on the wrong side of everything else. Why not be on the wrong side of that, too? So they have a new commissioner, and this guy clearly figures out that we're part of a team, and let's try to help everybody else around us. So that is great. And you know what? The thing is, having the tournament, the final, that will end up, we don't know yet which team it'll be for, but that will end up being a blessing in disguise for somebody. Just mark my words. There will be a handful of teams that the story is going to be, whether from injuries or from COVID, they wouldn't have been at full strength at the right time, at the normal time. But because the thing was delayed 3 weeks, we're going to have guys that were hurt come back on the court. We're going to have guys that were sick playing again. There might even be a coach available. Mark my words, you know, bookmark this whole conversation. But when it comes time to play those games, there will be several teams in finals at better strength than they would have been because it got delayed.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always with us Tuesdays here on the program. Greg, great to catch up. Thanks as always. Talk to you soon.
All right, Matt. Thanks. Bye. Right.
Greg Doyle with us Tuesdays. Lots of fun when he joins us here on the program. And as we get ready to head to break, a couple high school basketball notes. Trey Kaufman Wren became the all-time leading scorer at Silver Creek over the weekend. Who did he pass? Steve Green, former IU player, and of course notably recognized as Bob Knight's first recruit in Bloomington. He had a huge performance over the weekend to get that done. 35 points, in fact, in the victory. Also, I think it's worth noting that Silver Creek on Saturday defeated a really good Bloomington North team. There's no question about that. Very good Bloomington North team. And that is, it's not just the win, it's how they defeated Bloomington North underscores how good that this Silver Creek boys team is with Kaufman and Jacoby and Northern and others that step in and play big roles for the team as well. And speaking of Steve Green, he's going to join us later this week, Thursday. I know a lot of people really got a lot of feedback and comments when he was with us. It may have been a year or so ago, just to talk about his time at Indiana and Bob Knight and Silver Creek's rise in high school basketball. Really enjoy. I think maybe it was even a two-part conversation. But we're going to have him back Thursday to talk more of the same, but also talk a little bit about seeing Trey Kaufman take over his record. And he's gracious enough to join us Thursday on the program, so we'll have him with us a little bit later this week. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, more IU basketball. We'll talk about what's ahead. We'll get into a little recruiting, and then we'll close the show today with some high school basketball notes from over the weekend as well. Don't forget high school hoops tonight on the Big X. Little Tuesday night special, North Oldham coming across the river to play at Jeffersonville, and our pregame coverage in that contest begins at 7:10 p.m. this evening. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is always with us to talk IU basketball and football. And, Mike, I'm curious. I think this, Archie Miller said it last night, the canceling, the postponement of this Michigan State game this week for Indiana, could that be a good thing for the team to give them some time to get healthy, to get through some fatigue, and to get ready for a very tough stretch coming up?
Yeah, they looked worn down against Purdue, and I just wrote a story about the issues with their perimeter defense. You know, they've given up some really high percentage on threes over the last actually going back 8 games now, and they've got to fix that. And they were better, much better than earlier in the year, and so these extra practices give them a chance to look at the film and find out what they're not doing right, because they have to fix things now before they get underwater with the postseason.
Talking to Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, a tough schedule ahead, and I think you could pick out any stretch of games in the Big Ten, probably for many, many teams, and argue that it's just as tough or tougher, whatever the case may be. But Iowa twice, and Rutgers and Michigan, who's playing really good as well, all coming up for this Indiana team. We know that every game in the conference is important, but in this upcoming stretch that goes through February 7th or so, that starts and ends with Iowa, if my memory serves correct, Indiana's got to win some games, and it's hard to look at that schedule of upcoming teams and figure exactly who this team right now could beat. But you can't find another 8-game, 9-game losing streak for this team like happened, was it last season? I guess my question to you is, what's this team got to do to get some wins, to maybe steal some wins against tough Big Ten opponents coming up, to stay competitive in the conference and to keep NCAA hopes alive midseason?
Well, it's asking a lot to win at Iowa on Thursday, but they just have to make progress, teams, such that they can beat Rutgers the following game. And then, again, going to Michigan will be a really difficult assignment, but they'll have 2 home games, Illinois and Iowa, both very good teams. But if you don't take care of the home games, given that they've already lost 2 at home, they do just have to at least win one of those 2, and they'll have to come out.
I don't know, did we lose Mike? I think we lost Mike Pegram. We'll reconnect with him. But again, Indiana getting ready, as I mentioned with Greg Doyle in the last segment, to enter a very tough stretch of games. And yes, you could make that argument for any team in the Big Ten with how good the conference is. But, boy, Iowa twice within a three-and-a-half-week period, and some other really good teams, including Michigan. Definitely a tough stretch for Indiana coming up. We'll try to reconnect with Mike Pegram here in just one moment. But when you look ahead to what's up for Indiana, obviously, and I think we have Mike back with us. Mike, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of going through that stretch. I don't know how far I got.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, losing the 2 games at home that they were actually, was favored in, has made them have to win some games you're not expected to win. And I think a goal would be 9-11 in the Big Ten to kind of put themselves in position to possibly make the tournament. They'll have to win Sunday against Rutgers, unless they, pull a miracle or 2 out. Thursday at Iowa is going to be really tough, but they need to show progress in that game. And then when Illinois and Iowa come in for those back-to-back games here in a couple weeks, they can't lose both of those games. But they have to win some games as an underdog, or this season be looking like an NIT season.
NIT season, just to hear those words, for I know a lot of Indiana fans, it would be a huge disappointment. We've talked some about the Purdue situation. Indiana's lost 8 in a row. You're kind of giving your thoughts on where Indiana needs to head in the conference as far as a record to have a chance at the NCAA. And given there will be a lot of teams, we clearly can see that from the Big Ten, that get a chance to make the NCAA tournament this year. But if it is an NIT season for Indiana,
What's the fire like under Archie Miller's hot seat like for him at the conclusion of this year?
It gets hot. There's no doubt about it. I've always kind of had the philosophy you give that he would be given 5 years. This is year four, but a lot of those things that kind of play into that is how good you recruit or what kind of pipeline of talent you have coming into the next season. And they only sign one player, and then they have a good but not, you know, super talented transfer coming in on Parker Stewart. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think just let the season play out and talk to me in March about it. But they have some work to do to kind of get his seat from getting too hot.
Yeah, no question. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com is our guest. I want to flip to football for a moment. Indiana with a big hire from Georgia to take one of the big open positions on Tom Allen's staff as defensive coordinator. From all accounts, I mean, you don't know until they get there and you see what it looks like and how they fit in. But by all accounts, this is a good off-season hire by Tom Allen.
Yeah, Georgia's had some really good defensive teams of late, and in a really good offensive conference, best conference in football and SEC. So they've gone to the right place to find somebody that's ready for the job and hopefully can keep them, for now, your fan perspective, as good as they have been, because the defense was a big part of why this program was able to turn it around, especially with all the takeaways and so forth that they have. And he had a lot to work with. You know, they've had a couple significant losses, but they get the bulk of their defense back.
Mike, I think we expected this, but just reading some of the stories on your website, a lot of them from Matt Weaver, who we have on from time to time as well to talk football, lots of off-season recruiting activity so far, and it's not just in-state players. It's Arkansas and Georgia and other places down south. This Indiana team is taking advantage of the publicity that the team and, of course, Coach Allen received to try to capitalize on that and get some guys in here to keep this up, maybe even to take it further in the future.
Yeah, they made a really good footprint beyond Florida in the South. Some of the coaches have some strong connections to Mississippi, which meant they recruited those states in between Mississippi all the way to Florida, and they've recruited Georgia well. But the program got such tremendous publicity this year, being ranked for such a long time and being a part of the Outback Bowl and getting a lot of discussion, a lot of press on ESPN and in the national network. So that is, giving them opportunities to maybe to land some kids that they wouldn't have been had a chance before. So it's kind of fun to watch that.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, with us. And before we let you go today, I'm getting ready to close with some high school basketball notes from over the weekend. So a good segue to that is IU recruiting. C.J. Gunn has had some good performances recently for Lawrence North. His decision day is set for February 7th, and people think maybe Indiana could be where he goes. Your thoughts on that and any other recruiting buzz out there from a basketball perspective we should know about?
I think that's the main news of the last couple weeks. I went and watched CJ play against North Central in the opening round of the Marion County tournament, and he really kind of blew me away with how well he shot the basketball and how he looked a good 6'4", 6'5", and did some other things besides shoot it well. It really smooth release. He did exactly what Indiana wants, and I think they've done a good job with him, and I would say, they would be a favorite going into his decision, which he announced is going to come here on February 7th, if my memory's right. So that would be a good momentum build for Indiana if that happens and help them concentrate on other positions across that 2022 class. So possibly some good news coming from Indiana from a player who's on the rise.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, with us Tuesdays. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat.
All right, Matt. Talk to you then next week.
I want to close things today with a look at the weekend since we didn't have a Monday program yesterday. I mentioned at the top of the show Providence with a big win. They were 4-4 headed into Saturday night. They defeat Jeffersonville. It was kind of a close down-to-the-wire finish. Jeff missed a shot at the buzzer that would have actually won the game. Providence hung on for a 2-point win. I give Providence probably the win of the week, but from an individual performance stand for players, a number of big performances here in the area. Jake Heidbreeder, of Floyd Central. He just had a big, big weekend. 17 points as Floyd Central beat rival Jeffersonville by 10 points on Friday. And then I didn't get to see the game on Saturday, but Floyd was down 16, 17 points heading into the fourth period against North Harrison, who's very good. Langdon Hatton going to play D1 basketball at the mid-major level. And he scored 22 points, did Highbreeder in that Saturday game. And get this, 17 in the fourth quarter as Floyd won over North Harrison by 5 points in a major, major come-from-behind win for the Highlanders. So he probably has, I think, the biggest weekend from an individual perspective. Also, a shout-out to Casey Kalen at Providence, just a sophomore, but he scored 22 points, including the last 2 points for Providence. They were free throws to help Providence get the lead by two and then hang on against Jeffersonville in that big win on Saturday. Coach Miller really high on Casey Kalen, and he showed why on Saturday night. He's got a bright future ahead of him from basketball. Of course, we've already talked about Trey Kaufman and what he was able to do over the weekend in both of his contests, 35 points, 10 rebounds against a very good 4A Bloomington North team. Kaufman, really, those type of wins really help, and hit performances really help solidify his situation as a Mr. Basketball finalist, which I think is obvious, and maybe the potential Mr. Basketball in our state for this class. It could be close. The vote could be spread a little bit because of geography in our state and different players from different areas. But Trey Kaufman really making a push for that award, I feel, here as we reach the middle part of the season. Other big performances this weekend, Cooper Jacoby, we can't overlook him. He had 23 points and 10 rebounds on Friday, then 16 and 11 the next evening as Silver Creek a winner over Bloomington North. And again, that Kaufman, Jacoby, Northern triumvirate really hard to beat, and Bloomington North found out all about that on Saturday night. That's just a little sampling of some of the big performances over the weekend in high school basketball. Don't forget the girls' sectionals. They're coming up very, very soon, and we'll begin that first week of February. It will be into the girls' state tournament, so it's coming very, very quick. We'll be in postseason for girls, and a month and 11 days, 12 days from now, we'll be in the boys' state tournament talking about sectional games across southern Indiana, which will be a lot of fun. Let's just hope that fans have an opportunity, even if it's a small amount, in addition to parents and immediate households are able to go to some of these games, and that we're further along with the vaccine, and that things, and numbers-wise in our counties, especially with not being red counties, we can have more fans into some of these games and add to the atmosphere if it's safe to do. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Don't forget high school basketball tonight at Johnson Arena. I'll be on about 7:10 with our pregame coverage. It's North Oldham, coached by David Levitch, former U of L player. They will play at Jeffersonville tonight, and we'll have the play-by-play call for you coming up again 7:10 tonight on the Big X. And I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. for our Wednesday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.